This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the show. I am thrilled, like just absolutely thrilled to talk about TriDot Pool School today. It's a new thing that our coaches have been cooking up in the TriDot lab, and I've seen it with my own eyes, and I can confidently say TriDot Pool School will be a huge asset to the triathlon community, particularly those of us who have room for improvement in our swim. Sign me up. Yes, please, and thank you. Here to talk about it is TriDot founder and CEO Jeff Buer. Jeff is the chief architect behind TriDot's insight optimization technology that powers TriDot. He's a multiple-time Ironman finisher and has been coaching since 2003, from the Olympic level to more than a dozen pro triathletes, multiple national champions, and literally hundreds of amazing age group athletes. Jeff, thanks for joining us today to talk about Pool School.
Absolutely. It's great to be back. Look forward to diving in.
Also joining us for this is Coach Joanna Namy. Joanna is better known as Coach JoJo and has been coaching athletes with TriDot since 2012. She's a co-founder of HissyFit Racing, a third-year member of the Betty Design Elite Squad, and now has 17 Ironman finishes on her accomplished resume. Coach Jo is qualified for 3 Ironman World Championships and will be racing Kona here in just a few weeks, really, of October 2022. She is now full-time on the TriDot staff as our coaching community manager. Coach Jo, are you ready to talk about Pool School?
Yes, most definitely. Super excited to be here with you guys. Can't wait to get started.
I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then wind things down, hearing from some athletes on their experience at TriDot Pool School. So lots of good stuff. Let's get to it. Ketones are nature's superfuel, and the team here at TriDot has been learning from Oxford University professor Kieran Clark, founder and CEO of T-Delta S Global, all about the benefits of drinking the revolutionary Oxford Ketone Ester. My new favorite way to start the day is with a ketone-boosted cup of coffee. It is an absolute must on those days where I need to be dialed in for anything from triathlon training to podcast recording. The team at Delta G created the Delta Gold Coffee Booster after research showed just how well ketones and caffeine work together. Delta Gold Coffee Booster truly empowers you to start your day like there's some extra watts firing to your brain. The team at Delta G even offers free 15-minute one-on-one consultations where you can learn more about fueling your workouts or starting your day with Delta Gold Coffee Booster. You can book a call quick and easy at DeltaGKetones.com. So head to the website and book your free 15-minute consultation. When you place an order, use code TRIDOT20 to get 20% off your Superfuel ketone drinks.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Super League Triathlon came onto the scene a few years back in an effort to make professional short course triathlon fun for athletes and spectators alike. There are multiple Super League Tri events all over the world where the athletes race as individuals and on teams to earn points as the season goes on, just like with other racing-based professional sports. A newish thing in Super League Triathlon is the team points competition, where currently there are 5 different teams that battle it out at each event, and they are the Scorpions, the Sharks, the Rhinos, the Eagles, and the Cheetahs. So clearly, animal-themed mascots, the athletes race in a kit that has their team mascot on the front and their country flag on their left sleeve, and the kits, being animal-themed, are very fun. The cheetah one, for example, I saw a picture of Johnny Brownlee racing on that team, and his kit was just this bright orange, like Chester the Cheetah, Cheetos kind of themed kit with polka dots and black cheetah spots all over the kit. Each team has a pro coach with some tri legends like Chris McCormick and Tim Don, both coaching teams. So Jeff, Joe, a lot of background here that I wanted to give to catch people up on Super League Tri, really all to ask you this. For our warm-up question, if you were starting a new Super League team and you were going to coach them, what animal mascot would you pick for your team and why? Coach Joe, what do you got?
Well, y'all know that I'm gonna keep it girly. There's always going to be some leopard print involved, being that hissy fit is still true to my heart as the female team I created. So I think it would involve probably leopard and probably pink, of course. So that's probably my answer.
Okay, yep. Just tap it into that thing you've already created and just expanding it into the pro ranks. Those hissy fit kits are fantastic. I always like when I'm racing an event and go by somebody or get passed by somebody in a hissy fit kit. I always think of Coach Joe and give them a little shout out. Jeff Boer, what is your answer here? If you were coaching a Super League triathlon team, how would you theme it?
Well, I immediately think of the zebra. Texas A&M has a club triathlon team that's pretty big, and they have black and white zebra pattern on their kits from, you know, the whole thing. And it's really cool. You think when zebras are out there in packs, that's how they defend off predators, because they all blend together and you can't tell where one stops and another starts. So I kind of like that, you know, riding in a Peloton, all together, you're stronger together, kind of core value teamwork. So I'd go with the zebra.
So what is the attachment of zebras to Texas A&M University that they decided to put that into their kit?
I have no idea. It just looked really cool. And they've had that probably for 10 years. I don't know if they're still that way or not. I haven't seen them in a year or so, been to any races that they were at. But I don't think there is a connection other than just a cool looking kit.
All right. So we've got leopard with Coach Joe. We've got zebra with Coach Boo. And for my pick here, I decided, like, I don't want to be boring. I feel like just across the whole world of sports, there are enough teams that are the Eagles, the Bears, the Bulldogs, you know, kind of those, you know, the Cardinals, the Ravens, those few dozen go-tos that a lot of teams use. And so I was like, you know what? I don't want to be boring with my pick. If I was going to start a new Super League tri team, I'm going to go mythical. Like, I would want my team to be like the Godzillas or the Screaming Banshees and have like a kit to match. But as a tri-daughter, since we're going mythical, the obvious answer here is to have a team named the Unicorns.
There you go.
And have the kits be unicorns themed. I mean, I wonder how many tri-daughters would buy a unicorn themed tri-dot kit. Just saying, just putting it out there.
That could be girly.
It could be girly. It could be for the guys. It could be fun. It could be fast and loose. Either way, that's my pick. Guys, we're going to throw this question out to you like we always do. I'm curious to hear if you were starting a professional Super League triathlon team and choosing the mascot and how you're going to theme the kits for your team, what animal are you going with, since animals are the thing? Make sure you're a part of the I Am Tri-Dot Facebook group. We're going to throw this question out to you when this show comes out. Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
The day this show comes out, we were just on site at the inaugural U.S. Open PTO race in Dallas, Texas. And while I was down there for a weekend of racing, I got to connect with the team at Precision Fuel and Hydration in person. It was a real treat. Precision Fuel and Hydration was on site to help the pros and age groupers alike stay hydrated and fueled for the weekend of racing. We've had Andy Blow from Precision on the podcast many times, and he's taught us that ultimately the three main losses from taking part in a triathlon are calories, electrolytes, and fluid lost through sweat. You'll need to replace a proportion of your carb, electrolyte, and fluid losses with what you eat and drink if you want to perform at your best. So Andy and the team have developed the Fuel Planner so that you can take the guesswork out of your race nutrition plan. Head over to precisionfuelandhydration.com to take the Fuel Planner and get your free personalized race nutrition strategy. From there, you can book a call with PFNH's athlete support team to refine your strategy. And don't forget that Tri-Dot listeners get a 10% off their first order of electrolytes and fueling products by using the code TRI10 at the checkout at precisionfuelandhydration.com. Lots of wet and watery pool talk today. Grab your favorite electrolyte beverage and take a shot every time you hear the term pool school on the show today. You'll leave this episode well hydrated, I assure you of that. Very few of us begin our tri journey with a solid swim form foundation. You can certainly get faster just by improving your fitness, but establishing proper swim form will take you so much farther, so much faster in your growth as a swimmer. And the coaching staff here at TriDot is ready to introduce us all to the new way to build that swim foundation. Now, Jeff, there is a lot that TriDot does seeking to educate and empower athletes, you know, just beyond the training platform itself. I mean, there's the podcast, there's the Facebook community, there is a robust system for customer support, there's the Race Recon webinars, and soon there is a YouTube show coming out. And much of this is free. Much of this is for our TriDot users and TriDot non-users alike. And I want folks to hear from you, just as our fearless leader here at TriDot, in your own words. Why is there such a mission and emphasis here at TriDot to educate and invest significant company resources to help athletes just beyond their training?
You know, training is obviously the most impactful decision that triathletes make. It affects your success, injury, how you spend your time, how much time you have to spend to achieve different results, but it doesn't end there. And we recognize that from the start, that the community, your training environment, your education, all those things are very, very important. And I think of our core values. Three of the top four are all centered around the concept and the values. Two is we're passionate about helping people improve and succeed. We value teamwork, community, because we know we're better together. We hunger for knowledge and wisdom to better educate, inspire, and serve others. So that's core to who we are, and it goes beyond just the training and the technology. There's the social, the mental, the emotional aspects of our sport that are so determinant in your physical success, but also just your enjoyment of the sport and realizing what do you want out of the sport. It goes beyond just the training to all of those. So I really think that we have an opportunity, and really even more than that, an obligation to invest not only in technology, but also investing in the culture, the community, and all those things of our sport so that it's fun and rewarding just as much as the technical, you know, cool stuff there.
So we'll talk details in just a moment, but at the time we're recording this episode, we are fresh off a weekend together where we had about 30 TriDot athletes attend TriDot Pool School in the Dallas Metroplex. For both of you, what was a moment or maybe an interaction you had with an athlete that really stood out to you in our time together in Dallas?
Well, there was quite a few, but one that really stood out to me was toward the end of our second day. We did a time trial on the 100 to see what improvements or not improvements would be made. And one of our long-term ambassadors, Aaron Shikosius, comes out of the water completely elated. I mean, I can't even describe. He comes over, and it was maybe even too many hugs for my comfort level, but he was just giant bear hug. And I know this expression. This is a mom knows this, but like sheer joy. He almost jumped for joy in that it was almost like he had gained hope in knowing that he had tried lots of different methods over the years and not had any success as to making improvements. And we were literally talking about, you know, a couple of weeks of prep work leading into a 2-day workshop, and he just made a major improvement. And I think it was just an aha moment for him. And so I welcomed that bear hug from him and was just super happy. And that was just one instance. It was that whole couple of minutes where we were redrying them in the water was just an amazing time where we could see that they were all having the realization that that this was working for them and that they were going to continue to make improvements.
Yeah, there's a couple for me. I'll pick out just two. One was really cool, and just hearing McKeely Jones, her first words, you know, having an Olympic silver medalist, an Ironman world champion. You know, she said one word. She goes, fantastic. And then she went on and on. But just to hear that from her was so gratifying at one level from a technical standpoint. But what sticks out the most was from one of our athletes, Rusty Edwards. And he had one word and he said it over and over and over. He went from a 100 of 210 to 143. So that's what, 27 seconds off his 100. And he finished and they told him his time, his lane coach told him his time. And he just goes, what? And he just kept going, what? 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 They just kept doing that. And just to hear the smile and the, everyone was just high-fiving him. And he all he could say was what over and over. And he just couldn't believe it. And to see that kind of like Aaron, the joy and the, it just makes such a huge difference. It doesn't just change your swim split. It changes your whole race day, you know, when you have that kind of dramatic improvement. So it was really cool.
Yeah, and I like, Jeff, that, you know, so McKaylee Jones, I mean, she's on board as a TriDot coach now. She's using TriDot to coach her athletes, and you reached out to her and said, hey, I saw you're coming to pool school. Do you want to come as a coach and be on deck, or do you want to come as a swimmer? And she actually opted to come as a swimmer and be in the pool receiving instruction because she wanted to go through the process and kind of see what it was like as an athlete, yep, right?
Exactly. And that's why I respect her so much. We've had a lot of, you know, technical calls and different things from the training, from the platform, and, you know, working through everything. It's not just, you know, jump in and, hey, let's go do it. But it's being scrutinizing and being, you know, critical and offering opinion. And it's been really cool. She's been wonderful.
So of all the things that we could have launched next, and there are behind the scenes at TriDot so many like exciting initiatives right now being worked on that will be slowly coming out in the next few years, as the future of the company. So of all these exciting things that we could have made our next endeavor, why was pool school kind of rushed to the start of the line and the big initiative that you guys wanted to launch this fall for athletes? I mean, why launch pool school and not a track school or a bike school or maybe something else?
Yeah, great question. The first, and a lot of people would, you know, quickly recognize this, that with swimming, the fear and frustration that swimming represents for so many triathletes is significant. It should be fun and fulfilling. And they lack a lot of times a place to go to learn that effectively, or they get some little results, but then they're gone. They don't stick. I knew we had an opportunity to solve that need. But also, I think there's this barrier for thousands and thousands of would-be triathletes, of runners and cyclists and fitness, you know, other people that were it not for the swim, they would be triathletes. And so I see it as a way to outreach and give them a path, something they can have confidence in. If I go through this process, I'm going to be just as competent in swimming as I am in cycling and running or other things. And so give them that path. Thirdly, and one of the things that really affected the timing was that swim, this aspect of swim form and being able to help people improve their swim is a big limiter for triathlon coaches. If triathlon coaches have a background in swimming, they're very confident and they can teach whatever they've been taught, you know, and they have an approach and they can do that. But for so many coaches that weren't swimmers in high school or college or didn't have that background, but they're now triathletes, they have a lot less competence and confidence going into teaching it. All they know is what they've been taught. And as long as people need to do the same things they did, if they had the same swim flaws, that's great. And it's very hard. They don't have a lot of venues where they can learn something that's replicatable. And so we want to support them, give them that framework and a venue where they can learn very quickly. They can be on deck. This pool school that we just had, we had, I don't know, half, probably 12 coaches. And you know, a good portion of them were coaching. The others were there to being mentored, watching, gaining experience, working with slower swimmers, middle swimmers, back of the pack swimmers. And so they can have that breadth of knowledge that they can then take back, you know, running their own pool schools or with their athletes. So that really moved it up on our priority list.
Yeah, I totally agree, Jeff. You know, in I've been coaching for TriDot for quite a long time and been a tri coach for over 10 years. And, you know, what has happened in tri coaching is that a lot of it has moved virtual. You know, we originally started out with a lot of local athletes, and now most of my athletes that I coach are all over the U.S. and world. And it's a tall order to try to advise our athletes on swim form when you're on phone calls, text throughout the week. In that sense, coaching has moved away from that hands-on interaction. And I was thinking about pool school, and maybe it was too much hands-on interaction. You know, we're doing a lot of dry land work. There's a lot of hugs going on. There's a lot of moving legs, arms. I mean, that was a little bit too much touching for my personal taste.
A lot of wet bodies.
Yes. Yes. A little uncomfortable. I needed a shower after those sessions, but, you know, I think that is what was needed. I think it's that we had a missing link there, and that in actually helping one-on-one these athletes in the pool school setting. The other thing I think about is that I noticed amongst all the athletes I've worked with over the years that that adults, it's swimmers who, you know, did not grow up swimming, that we call them, you know, adult onset swimmers, were very self-conscious when it came to swimming. There was a level of embarrassment that, you know, we naturally learned to ride a bike, we naturally learned to walk and then run, but swimming was just an area that caused people to be very uncomfortable. And you know, and in that sense, this was very much needed. This was an environment where they could easily learn a method and gain confidence. And I think that's invaluable. And so this was definitely needed at this time.
So Jeff, back on episode 2 of the podcast, a measly 154 episodes ago, you talked about the importance of building swim form correctly from the ground up, and you took great lengths to do that yourself back when you were starting off as a swimmer and a triathlete with adult onset swimmer. You know, what did that process look like for you? And Jeff, this was at your advanced age, so many,
okay,
so many years ago.
Okay. I'm getting close to a quarter century. Wow. Actually, my triathlon birthday anniversary, 20 years ago this month, probably within about 5 days,
cool,
was my first sprint triathlon. And at the time, my brother-in-law said, hey, let's do this. We're doing a sprint. Can we stay with you when we're up there in the Dallas area? And I said, sure. What's a sprint triathlon? And so here you are. So I said I'll jump into. I went and it was a 300 swim. I went and jumped in the water and swam. And I've done athletics all my life, but I did that in 300. It was about 7.5 minutes. And my arms were gonna fall off. I could not get out of the pool. It was horrible. And the guy next to me had been going back and forth all these laps. And he looked over and he goes, man, you should be swimming faster than that. And at first I thought, like, this is an insult. Like, what's he? And he goes, no, I mean, like, you look kind of athletic. You know, you shouldn't be having to work that hard. You know, have you ever heard of total immersion? And I said, no, I hadn't. What, you know, and he told me. So I went, and that was so I went home, looked it up online and said, okay, there's this methodical way of, you know, approaching the swim. I ordered the book. I called and Terry Laughlin, the writer, author, answer the phone, and I'm talking to him on the phone. The author is very cool, and so I commit, got the videos, got everything, and I went through that process. And for 7 swims, I just did drill. I made sure I mastered it, moved on to the next one. And about probably 4 or 5 weeks, 7 swims, maybe 1 or 2 a week, just focusing on that. I went 5:30, so it took 2 minutes off my time, and I could just jump out of the pool. It felt like I hadn't done hardly anything. So I realized, like, holy cow, you know, your technique makes a big difference. And so that was kind of my first experience right there.
So Jeff, how did that like initial personal experience impact you later as you began coaching triathletes?
So that was before obviously my first triathlon. I didn't think about coaching for a while longer. When I did start coaching, same with the technology piece, I kind of looked at stress and learned from people who came before, trying to build on that. It made me just hungry to study everything that I could. And so I started researching other swim methods, other forms of how do you teach? Why do they teach it that way? What does that come from? You know, what environments are they teaching within? Like, I know a lot of high school swimmers are great coaches, but they only have the athletes for a very short period of time. So they don't start from the ground up with every athlete. So you could have 20 years of coaching experience, but you know, if you're exposed to athletes for 2-3 months at a time, and then they're gone doing other sports, or so it really made a difference. And so I learned a lot from Terry and Suzanne Atkinson. One of his coaches helped with a lot of their, you know, certifying their athletes. Paul Newsome, Swim Form, Brenton Forbes, Sheila Tormina, her book, Swim Speed Secrets. And all of them had different things that they brought. You know, Total Immersion was all about streamlined swimming, but nothing about the pull or propulsion. And Sheila's was a lot about the pull and propulsion, you know, and band work, and learned so much from her. And just being a student of it. And what Terry always used to say, was he called adult onset swimming, and is unique that if you're learning as an adult how to swim is very different than if you learned as a kid. And so that was an interesting approach. And I thought that was super cool. And one person, Barb Lindquist, I got to work with her a bit through the collegiate recruitment program and up to Olympic Training Center with a couple of my athletes that were doing draft legal. Draft, you know, so important there. And to be on deck with her, see how she taught. She sent out workouts and studying those for several years. But being on deck with about 11 other coaches, there's 12 athletes there, kind of invitation only, you know, the top 12 in the country. And those coaches, you know, I'm on deck and coaching, and I knew a lot more than I thought now, looking back, than I did. But I felt like such a poser. Like, You know, I'm learning, and I've been doing this for several years, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, and I'm teaching people how to do this, but I'm here with these elite coaches with a swim background and put people in the Olympics, all this stuff. And so I'm like coaching my athletes here, but I'm also trying to listen to what they're telling their athletes in their lane. It's, oh, I haven't seen that before. I'm learning this. And, you know, Jennifer Hutchison, and I mean, just, I could name, you know, 10 others that are just amazing coaches trying to just absorb. So all of that just, I guess, set me off as a student of swimming, trying to learn how to teach it, what's the best method of teaching it, when and why, what's going to stick, what's going to make those short-term gains, but then how do you get those gains to stick, and what's the most effective?
Yeah, so it's funny that you talk about being on a pool deck with them as a coach, and a very qualified coach, but feeling like a poser next to them, because I used to coach a junior triathlon team. You used to coach a junior triathlon team, and our junior triathlon teams worked out at the same pool at the same time. And I felt like a poser next to you on deck, watching your kids march up and down the lane like little soldiers. When my kids were very entry level, very kind of after school program. But that's how you and I met. And years later, now we're doing this with Tridot, and it was pretty cool to go to this first pool school with all these athletes, and it was at the same pool that you and I used to coach together. And there you are doing your thing with adults, and there I am, you know, taking footage and media and hanging out with athletes. So from that time when you were working with youth and junior swimmers, you know, how did that time on the pool deck with them influence the way that you coach swimming?
Yeah, great question. So that's a very unique environment. And again, that was probably the most impactful. I think when we got to that point, I was not hearing a lot of new things. You know, the questions would come up, okay, I've heard that, I know about this, I know about that. And I was, but this was a different environment. I had a lot of these junior kids coming in that were qualifying for nationals. So it was draft legal, 75, you know, athletes starting, and you swim, and you get, you know, if you come out too far back on the swim, you get lapped out and your day is over. So in draft legal racing. So they would come in very frequently in January, February timeframe. And by May, we're traveling to Richmond, Virginia for the first national qualifying race. And so they're having to qualify and, you know, and sign up for these races in several months in advance. So January, they're signing up for their races. They had got to commit and book hotels and travel and all that. And so they're coming in brand new to the sport. And so I had 3 to 4 months to get them to the caliber that they're going to be qualifying for nationals. And so wow. I had to fine tune and teach the most effective way. What is going to, how do you communicate it? How do you make sure that it's not lost? How do you teach one skill so that when they learn the next skill, they're not dropping the first one, and it anticipates them learning the next one, so you're not retraining muscle memory and those kind of things. And still, even at that point, some coaches that I had working with me, Coach Nick and Natalie and Tom and Heather and others came on. I continue to learn from them on how to teach. So it's a matter of the necessity of the parents are putting money on the table that their kids are going to go to this, you know, and me making that commitment that they are going to be ready. They are going to qualify. And every athlete that came on did, they all did qualify for nationals in just a few months. And so being able to do that how's the quickest, most effective way, that's the most flaw resistant way so that they can build on it. And several of them started there and didn't have the swim background and went on to compete in college. And one was on a swim team in college, which was really cool. So it's kind of a forced environment, you know, that kind of just makes you do it just based on the constraints of the time frame.
So Jeff had spent, and Jeff, we've heard the stories now, just kind of years of multiple influences, you know, being on deck with different coaches, being hands-on with youth athletes that have to lay the groundwork for their swim form very quickly. And so over all those years, You kind of formulated, if that's a word, I don't think it is, but you get the point. You formulated this effective, time efficient methodology for teaching somebody from the ground up how to have a refined swim stroke. And so, fast forward to earlier this year, Coach Joe, you, Jeff Buer, and then Tridot Coach John Mayfield, the three of you got together and spent 2 full days, kind of pulling from Jeff's experience and perfecting a new methodology for teaching adult onset swimmers how to rework their swim stroke. And now you're introducing what you guys are calling functional freestyle. So Joe, just kind of tell us what was that process like, kind of getting in with Jeff and John and making functional freestyle?
Well, I'll be totally honest. Surprise. Like, I'm not. And now you're going to make me like confessions of a swimmer here in front of Jeff Boer. But I, in all honesty, I was a bit wary, maybe a little guarded when I first worked with Jeff on this method. And there may have been a bit of ego in that I'd had a competitive swim background and being a faster swimming, doing well in races. And there's also a hesitancy to try something new, to do anything in a new way. I was very comfortable, you know, in swimming. I was comfortable, you know, felt like I was doing well in Ironman races and thought, oh, I'm not sure I could swim any faster. And, you know, we all want to stick to what or how we always do something. And, you know, and so this was going to be a change, and I was wrong. It really resonated with me when Jeff asked me and John initially to listen and learn with newbie ears, to act like a newer swimmer, to be open to trying this and learning the method. So I committed to the instruction and was going to see what happened. The things that I loved, Jeff mandated that the steps of the method be extremely simple. And we talked about that. I wanted it to be easily absorbed by, you know, the beginner swimmer versus the most advanced swimmer. So, you know, I think the thing about swimming is that it's already intimidating and foreign to so many.
Yeah, so true.
It is. And this was a number one, simple and easy to understand. Number two, easy to replicate. It worked for athletes of all abilities. They could follow the steps. And number three, we were talking elite fast swimmers and then the most, you know, novice triathletes and everybody in between. And the bonus was that we were seeing results super quickly. And that was just, it just kind of blew me away. I would, you know, and in all honesty, I was sold and I was pumped, super excited. It was, you know, I told Jeff that this really, you know, ignited a fire in me. I was like, I have a passion for swimming. I have a lot of athletes that come to me for swimming help. And I feel like I've done the best I can with my swim background and my coaching abilities, but there was still a missing link. And this was the answer to me.
So Joe, because I remember you and John spent that time with Jeff, you guys worked really hard on this and you and John got back on, I mean, every morning, of the work week, our whole Tri-Dot team hops on a morning call. We call it the morning huddle. And we just kind of chit chat for 15 minutes, connect, you know, see who needs what from who for the workday. And you and John hopped on that call. Like I got back in the pool after going through this methodology and you two as experienced Ironman athletes were faster than you've ever been before. Like what were your results just from that time with Jeff kind of perfecting this methodology?
You know, in all honesty, again, John saw more results initially, and I wanted to go home and kind of test the method on my own. I wanted to do about 6 or 7 pool sessions, my normal training, you know, over a 2-week period and see how the method and me totally focusing on the functional freestyle, see how that would affect like my average timing, you know, for a session of 3,500 or 4,000 yards. And, you know, it was exact. I was taking 10 seconds off per 100. And that's a huge amount for somebody, not that I'm like tooting my own horn here, but you know, that actually swims fairly fast, you know, I was stunned. I got home and thought, you know, if this works for me, there is so many of my own athletes or tried-out athletes that I've heard that are kind of stuck in that middle ground. That they're working certain drills that have been around forever, you know, that historically have been, you know, effective swim drills, but we're not seeing results no matter the work they were putting in. And they were kind of perpetrating bad habits by swimming, you know, these long workouts when they weren't really getting to the root of the problems in their stroke.
You work out functional freestyle, you know, you and John take it back into your own swim sessions and continue to go through it on your own. But you guys didn't want to just stop there. I mean, you wanted to make sure that Tri-Dot Pool School was a fully baked Thanksgiving turkey before you served it up to age group athletes. So something like 30-ish Tri-Dot coaches came together in Dallas to work through the pool school process, learn it, refine it even further for athletes. What role did our Tri-Dot coach community play in the TriDot pool school our athletes will participate in?
You know, initially we called on some of our super active coaching staff in Ryan Tibble, Jeff Raines, and Heather DeCobb, and they invested a tremendous amount of time, as did Jeff, John, and myself, you know, initially working through the method, brainstorming, providing feedback. And this was all done, you know, before our first coach clinic. Many of them were collegiate swimmers. Again, that same feeling I had going into it that, you know, I don't know, I may be a little wary about going into this. And it's interesting how we all had the same reaction after going through it. It was kind of that, like, I think this is going to work. This is going to work. You know, it was that excitement. And then as we progressed through the, you know, our first clinics with, you know, tons of coaches being involved, I honestly think they were an integral part in bringing this program to life. It was eye-opening to see how eager, how many wanted to attend, how many wanted to give feedback, how many wanted to go through the athlete process of learning the method. We got lots of feedback from the coaches, and it was interesting because they're all very qualified tri coaches, but they all come from very different swim backgrounds. So it was a good example across the board of what different types of athletes with different swim backgrounds were going to experience when going through the program. So this allowed us to go, you know, to work with different types of athletes, all ages, genders, skill levels, very different types of athletes. And I always say that our coaches, and maybe I say this because I'm the manager of the TriDot coaching community, but it's that, you know, they are one of our greatest resources, and we value their opinions and everything that we do. And they were super helpful, I feel, in like refining and really, really making this the greatest program that we could, and be most effective for all athletes, all triathletes, all swimmers out there.
It was pretty wild, Joe, to be at that initial pool school where it was just TriDot coaches. And again, there's 30 something of them. And just to be in the room as you have guys like Kurt Madden, you know, Jason McFaul, Jason Verbrecken, Matt Sumar, you know, legendary longtime coach at Austin Aquatics, Jen Reinhart, you know, all these highly qualified, good swimmers, strong athletes, you know, longtime tri coaches, that they're all in the water, you know, learning how to go through this. And just, I was so blown away by their commitment to learn the process, to your point, no matter how strong of swimmers they are or what their background is. You know, they were off on the side doing the dry land work, and you could tell all of those coaches were really making sure that they internalized the process, understood the process, could learn the process and do it themselves, so they can now coach the process. And so, Joe, after that weekend, you know, our coaches have all traveled back home. You know, they've kept working on their own swim technique, you know, with what they've learned from that time in Dallas. What feedback have you heard from our TriDot coaches on the backside of that inaugural pool school?
This was so interesting. I have to laugh about it in a sense that, you know, we sent them home with a mandate: do not get lazy, continue to do the work, continue to go through the steps, continue to drill. And it was, would they do it? I wasn't sure, you know, a little bit of ego with coaches sometimes, you know? And so they did go home. And I started getting messages and started getting phone calls. One of my athletes and co-coaches that I work with, here south of Houston, is Kyle Stone, big personality. He's like, "Joe, I just took 22 seconds off my 100. I mean 200. 100. Jeez. That would have been crazy. So he goes home and does his 200 assessment, and, you know, and he's just thrilled. And so, you know, he's done 20 Ironman races, you know, and he, you know, we have him doing assessments, and he's one of my athletes that's kind of a drag for him, no pun intended, is that, you know, he just, you know, he dreads that swim assessment. He'll try to get out of doing it. You know, and he was pumped. He was pumped for the first time to say, you know, he's a phenomenal Ironman athlete, phenomenal biker and runner, but now he's, you know, he's going to be just as strong in the swim portion. So that was super thrilling, super exciting to hear that. And I heard it from a lot of the coaches that attended. But some of their feedback, I think, was interesting, that they kept talking about how easy this was to replicate, how easy this was to instruct. And that is what I needed to hear. That's what Jeff needed to hear, was that We knew how strong the method was, but I wanted to watch them in action and see how they were going to be able to easily instruct this. And they were, you know, and they had homework. They had material and steps to work on. And currently, I find that most athletes struggling with swim have no idea what to work on. They have no idea.
So true.
You know, they go to the pool with a workout, but they have no idea what to work on as far as function and form. What am I doing in the water? They're just lost. And this was homework we sent home with our coaches. They had material to work with, and they were guided. And I think that was something they were very excited about.
Jeff, it's interesting that you referenced earlier you spent time on a pool deck seeing some of the best in the world do their thing coaching swim form, and everybody approached it somewhat differently. All the different methodologies you studied as a triathlete way, way, way back in the day, all kind of focused on different things, with effortless swimming focusing on streaming, you know, all those things you mentioned. You know, and it really highlights how difficult it can be to teach proper swimming and to learn proper swimming, that this many people are focused on it and taking different approaches. Why is learning to swim so difficult compared to some of the other things in our sport?
Yeah, well, you're right. One of the things that McKeely mentioned this, she goes, I've never heard, you know, a lot of these things are thought about, but not to the depth to where you guys have gone. And so a lot of in the technique, there's multiple ways, you know, there's multiple opinions on how to do this, but analyzing what does that do, you know, functionally, is one aspect of it. Part of why it's so hard is in any kind of movement, you have three components. There's a balance in body position. Then you want to maximize propulsion and minimize resistance. So you can think about swim, bike, and run. You need to have your balance first and your body orientation. Then you need to propel yourself forward, and then you minimize resistance. And you do that differently on the swim, bike, and run based on, you know, the water is almost 800 times more dense than air. So resistance is more important. You're going so much faster on a bike, so that wind resistance is a bigger factor. You have to change your posture. But the biggest thing here, the biggest difference in the three and how we approach it, is the balance in the body position. Imagine trying to run or cycle if you could not keep your balance. How could you get your center of gravity over your propulsive muscle, over the right muscle? You know, you'd just be dragging yourself across the ground, you know, inefficiently.
Yeah.
So you have to maintain that balance in body position. But the problem is, when it comes to swimming, that a lot of athletes don't even recognize if they are or aren't in balance. And if they are in balance, they can't control that body position and balance. Think about the biggest teacher of balance for swim or for running and cycling is gravity. When you're a kid growing up, gravity, you're going to learn really quick when you lose your balance. We don't have that in swimming. You're just kind of laying there. You could be all crooked and all over the place, and you don't even recognize if you are or aren't balanced. So you're not even aware that you're not doing things like you could. The next thing relates to that balance, but it's also body position. The things that we learn, our senses, when we're cycling and running to maintain balance and body position. One is it's visual cues. You're able to look and see stuff. You see a horizon, you see things around you. When they start moving, you know that your balance is being lost. There's a tactile proprioception, the kinesthetic aspect of feeling a ground or feeling a bike, feeling something. When that changes, you're sensing change in body position or movement. So a lot of that goes away in swimming. There's just water all around you. There's not a definite ground, unless you're pushing off the wall. It's the only time you feel something concrete and know your orientation. The last thing is your vestibular system, your equilibrium in your ear. And when we're running and cycling, we try to keep our head still. We generally do keep our head still, so we're able to maintain that equilibrium. But in swimming, you're constantly moving your head up and down and breathing and side to side. Imagine if you're running, you know, as fast as you can, and every time you inhale, you have to turn your head to the right side of your shoulder and breathe in over there and then breathe out in front of you. And you're constantly doing that. Your orientation, everything would get messed up. And so same like when you're thinking about your hand position, how does it move over your head? Where's the entry point? What's straight? When you're pushing your arm straight forward, does that move? As you're pulling underneath your body, but then you're swinging your head up to one side or the other. Does that make you cross over or not? So how you teach the swimming functions as your frame of reference, and all of those senses are either gone or significantly hindered. Your vestibular, your tactile proprioception, and your visual cues are gone. So we teach many different things that don't rely as much on those and give you other things to rely on, or a way to where less can go wrong if you're a little off. So that's a big thing, a big part of the functional freestyle.
So the biggest question for us as athletes and for our folks listening is, how does this work? You know, after investing so much time and energy, getting so much feedback from TriDot coaches to refine and develop a swim system, functional freestyle, what was the end result? What does this look like for the athlete going through the process?
Well, it'll look different. I mean, they're still swimming, obviously, so there's certain things that are in common. But the concept of functional freestyle is, in looking at all, there's so many different ways of teaching someone how to, you know, the water recovery, how your hand, there's many ways of doing things and getting to the same place, but some ways are more more likely to have flaws creep up later, lead to other problems, inconsistencies in your stroke. So we try to do that, the simplicity and what's going to be the quickest way, and also lead to the fewer error, fewer deteriorations over time. One of the things that we do is, and the reason a lot of coaches can't do the ground up method is because it takes so long to build one skill and then another skill and then another skill. So we have some prep work, it's like homework that they do. We call it the Miyagi method. And so athletes are learning the muscle memory on dry land ahead of time. So rather than learning just the overwater recovery and then just the catch and pull, then, you know, each different section, head and body position, while you're in this dynamic fluid environment in the water, they're doing it on the ground at home, where they're doing just hundreds and hundreds of repetitions of different movements that are key to swimming and core, and being taught exactly how to do those. So they're able to develop the different phases of their swim, that muscle memory, all at the same time.
And just in case, Jeff, just in case someone out there has not seen the essential viewing experience of the Karate Kid trilogy, the originals, who is Mr. Miyagi, and why is this portion of pool school called the Miyagi method?
Absolutely. So for both of the people that haven't seen Karate Kid movie, now I think most people are familiar that it's that part at first where Daniel-san wants to learn how to fight, how to defend himself. And wants to learn karate. And so Mr. Miyagi agrees to teach him. I'll teach you, but you have to do what I say and no questions asked, and just do what I tell you and I'll teach you. And so then for the next 4 or 5 days, every day, he gives him another homework. He starts off, I think, with waxing the cars. Wax on, you know, clockwise with your right hand, wax off counterclockwise with your left hand. Then the next day he goes, all right, we're going to learn karate today. Nope, I want you to paint the fence straight up and straight down. Left hand on, you know, skinny boards left hand, big boards right hand. And then he's, all right, I'm done. Nope, the other side of the fence. You know, and then he's painting the house and then sanding the floor and going through all of these different muscle memories until his arms are about to fall off. And then he's gets fed up, he's about to quit. And then Mr. Miyagi says, Daniel-san, come back here, you know, and just has to yell at him to get his attention because he's about to quit and he's all mad. And he goes, show me, paint the fence. And so he gets him to move. And then so he starts throwing punches at him and kicks. And then all of a sudden, Daniel-san's face looks like, wow, he just reacted out of instinct without thinking about it. And the muscle memory took over and he was able to do karate and defend himself. And he goes, lesson over, or something like that, and bows to him and walks off. And he's just sitting there stunned, you know? And so that same method, it's physiology. It's the muscle memory works. You just have to repeat it correctly, exactly right, over and over and over. And then that unconscious competence. So you don't even think about it when it comes time to move your arm in a certain path or pattern. They just do that. So that's where it comes from. We almost called it Miyagi-Do swimming, but I was a little too into Karate Kid. So functional freestyle and the Miyagi method, though, give credit where credit's due. That's the method of teaching the muscle memory.
Yeah, and so that's in the prep work. And so after you've done your prep work, your homework on the beginning, where do you go from there as an athlete?
So then you go to a weekend workshop. So from the time you register, you start doing that prep work at home. You can get people to look at you, make sure you're doing it right. Coaches will help you with that. Then in the water, we tie it all together. And so we have a methodical process, like a school. There's grades 1 through 12, and each one is a different core drill and a different skill. And each one is set up to where each one builds on the last. And so you work until you understand how to do it. You're transferring that from the groundwork. We'll start on the ground doing the dry land work and do the movement on the deck. And then we go to the water and do the same thing in the drill and make sure that one translates to the next. And then we're going to build on it. And we go slow. We spend time, the different lanes. You have a lane. It's like a 1-to-4 ratio, coach to athlete. So a lot of individual attention, and all the athletes in your lane are very similar abilities, working on basically the same things. And so they're going to tie that all together. It's a 2-day, but 4 hours on each day. And so we just walk through. Some athletes go further on day two than others do, and it just depends on kind of where you are in your swim journey, and just focus on what's going to be the most beneficial for you. Then in a lot of the things that we do from the ground up approach like this is foreseeing where flaws could happen later in the most effective way. So we teach certain just very nuanced things that feel so natural. Once you do them this way, you know, most people would, you look at someone's swim stroke and think they're doing everything right, but a little twist of the wrist here, a little different balance, different, you know, certain different things. If they're not done correctly, they will set you up for a flaw later. And then a lot of times athletes will think, oh, I'm crossing over, I'm doing this or what. They'll see a flaw and try to artificially fix the flaw, but they're not fixing the root cause. And they don't even recognize that's getting caused maybe three or steps further back in their stroke that's causing that. Wow. And unless they address that problem, that flaw is going to keep cropping up. I guess the last piece is we have a progress report card.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so athletes are going to get a grade. You know, A, B, and C in the different drills and the different for each grade, first grade, second grade, third grade, and they're going to get a level of proficiency and some pointers. How do you continue that? And then they're going to be able to get follow-on assessments. We've already had some athletes going through pool school want to come back and do it again. I want to master. I want to improve from a B to an A, you know, and get further along and improve that ability. So.
Yeah, I agree with everything Jeff said. The muscle memory is the foundation of that functional freestyle. And I cannot emphasize enough the difference in that, and that the dry land work, the muscle memory work, and how effective that is. And then secondly, you know, what happens in this weekend is what was so eye-opening to me and so exciting to me was the one-on-one interaction with our coaches. That is... You know, there was a person there for you. Ask questions. Say, I'm confused. I don't understand. And get the answers right then on what you're doing wrong. Someone videoing you. Someone looking at your stroke. Someone showing you what you're actually doing when you think you're doing something else. And there was definitely those moments. And it all led to me realizing that day two of the workshop was not the end of the process. There is follow-ups. There's someone invested in you. There's someone following up with you. There is someone who wants you to have improvement. So it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new swim fitness journey for you. And it's it was pretty remarkable to see that social interaction and just relationships forming, you know, between athletes, coaches and other coaches. It's just a tremendous weekend.
Joe, you mentioned a little earlier how important the prereq homework is as a part of this process and getting that muscle memory down before you even show up to pool school. So at this point that we're recording this, we've had 30-ish coaches at the first one. We had 30-ish athletes at the second one here in Dallas. From those 60-ish athletes, could you tell who had done their homework ahead of time and who really maybe skimped on that a little bit?
Oh, I can always tell. I mean, you're going to ask the mother of three teenage sons who's lying and who's not. That's going to be an easy one for me. I'm just poking fun. But yeah, we could tell. I mean, that muscle memory takes a lot of repetitions, and it has to be accurate. The movement has to be accurate. We could tell if some people were, you know, not as good at it or were kind of doing it for the first time. There's definitely signs that they had not done the prep work at home. And I can't emphasize how important that prep work was to start that learning, start the process, start the muscle memory. I like when Jeff was talking about, you know, the emphasis on feeling that sense of balance and body position on the dry land, in some of the prep work that starts you to have that sense of balance and have that sense of body position before you come in person. So from the moment you register, you begin to develop that muscle memory that is absolutely needed for the functional freestyle. The work toward swimming easier, faster, begins way before the in-person workshop. And it makes your learning at the workshop super easy. And so it is definitely a program, a process. It's not a two-day event. It is a program that starts way before your in-person workshop and continues as long as you're working on that stroke.
So the system is in place. There are coaches now nationwide that are ready to teach this. Tri-Dot pool schools are already popping up around the country. What does a pool school weekend look like for the athlete? I mean, there's a time investment, there's a monetary investment to attend these. So for the athletes that are coming, what do we get out of it?
Well, we've already talked about, you know, we're witnessing faster times. And it's not just the faster times. You know, what I heard over and over again at pool school and then from athletes and coaches when they got back home was less effort, faster times with, you know, less effort, feeling less spent when they did an assessment. The other thing I've heard a couple of athletes tell me is less anxiety, which is anxiety is a huge part of swimming for a lot of triathletes and more enjoyment. Like, you know, some of their testimonies from, we call them TPS alumni, Tri-Dot Pool School alumni, are I'm looking forward to my next swim session or I'm so excited for my next swim assessment, said no one ever. No one has ever said that in all my years sure of haven't. Coaching, but I have actually had a number of athletes, you know, who attended pool school or coaches said, oh, I cannot wait to my next swim assessment so I can see how well I'm doing, you know, done. Yeah. And then for them to report back and say, I just cannot believe that happened, you know? And so that what they're getting out of it is some pretty remarkable results. The one thing I saw just, again, mom, as I'm watching kids, but these were athletes coming out of the water, was a new sense of confidence. They all left more confident in themselves. And that's such a wonderful thing to see. I coached a kids team in Houston for Jeff for a number of years. And that was one of my favorite things was to watch them have those aha moments and believe in themselves. And I'm seeing that coming out of pool school is a new sense of confidence for these swimmers.
You ask kind of what do we get out of it? You know, the first answer is, you know, faster and happier triathletes. That's pretty cool. But I also hope, and one of our strategic missions with this initiative, as I mentioned up front, is to have more triathletes. Like, we all know people that run and cycle and love fitness and love challenge and love working hard. And now I want to provide a path for them that's reliable. If they invest the time or willing to do the work, they can swim and they can enjoy it and they can do well and perform well and get that satisfaction. So, you know, I guess to get out of it, faster, happier triathletes and more triathletes.
So if an athlete signs up, they do their pool school homework beforehand. They work hard in the pool when they arrive. And really focus and try to get the steps down. What type of improvement do you expect athletes to experience from going through Tri-Dot Pool School?
I say that the results, you know, expectations is very consistent, is very in line with what from the very first time me and Joanna and John met, you know, about 10 seconds per 100, they were faster swimmers. This last one we just last weekend, it had an average of 13 seconds per 100, is about 11%. So some of the swimmers that were a little over 2 minutes per 100, they took 30 plus seconds off, 40 seconds off. But we had fast swimmers that were 58 seconds, you know, sub 1 minute went 58 to 54 seconds, 108 to 53. So it's just across the board, really, really good results. And it's not just on the 100. That's a proportional difference from all of their workouts. Like Joanna mentioned, you know, the next 7-8 workouts she did at all different intensity levels. It was about 10 for her. And she's, you know, about 120-ish, Joe. Is that right? Threshold pace?
Yeah.
So in there, to see that kind of a difference across the board from over 2 minutes down to sub 1 minute, we're very, very satisfied with that and happy that it's consistent and universally experienced.
They're also going home with a new set of skills, a new you know, learning method, which was super exciting for them. And also they left with a lot of relief that they weren't going to be stuck in the same position and kind of the stagnant training that they've been doing for years. And so that was pretty fun to watch.
So how do we find more information and how do we get signed up for a pool school hopefully coming soon near us?
Very simple. You can find more information at our website at tri.poolschool.com. This is also where you will register for upcoming workshops and your program. It is also the location where you would complete all your interactive prep work. We are also on Instagram at tri.poolschool. So anyone is you feel free to message me on Facebook or Instagram, and I would love to chat with anyone who is interested. That's at Coach Joe Tridot, or email me at joanna.namey@tridot.com.
So just to wrap up our main set here, kind of land the plane on Tridot Pool School, I just want to hear reflections from both of you as coaches, because I know you've both spent hundreds of hours on a pool deck coaching athletes on their swim, you know, just with your time in the sport. You know, you're passionate about your athletes improving and succeeding. In my time working for Tridot, I've seen our coaches work on several different exciting initiatives, but I've never seen you both and John really sink your teeth into a project with such excitement and such ferocity as Tridot Pool School. I mean, seeing athletes improve in their swim clearly means a lot to you both. What is it like to just really start seeing it click or come together for an athlete in the water?
It's incredibly gratifying. Just the sense of accomplishment in our team and in the investment, to see that the athlete's face and smile, elation, the frustration go away, the confidence, all of that is incredible. It's seeing the, especially here more recently, with all of the coaches and the dedication, the number of times they've come and stood on deck and worked together, and the investment that they're making now to be able to adopt the system and replicate that and bring it to, you know, different locations all over the country. And just knowing the amount of work that went into it for so many different people, it's just extremely gratifying. It's that sense of it's worth it. It's worth it to get that feedback and to really change someone's experience in the pool, you know, from here forward. I want people to say, you know, swimming is just like riding a bike. You know, you learn it, it's just like riding a bike. You get in the water and you have that confidence, that comfort, and you can just pick it back up again for the rest of your life. I think that is super cool.
As fun and exciting as it is seeing the immediate improvement, like at a weekend like pool school, I'm probably most excited to see once races start coming back around in the spring and people have had, you know, a whole off season, a whole preseason, you know, a couple months under their belt to really work on and further master these motions in the water. I'm excited to see people reporting what their race times are and really just seeing it all pay off.
Well, Joanna's already come out of the water first a couple times in local sprints and had some pretty good gains.
I was about to say, no pressure at Kona on me.
So Joe, for you, I mean, what is it like when you see athletes in the water just really have it start making a difference?
It was a lot of emotions. It was relief, honestly. It's been frustrating over the years to work hard with an athlete and see the athlete's own frustration and almost defeat when it comes to swimming. And I'm going to repeat, in my entire long coaching career and my journey and try myself, I've witnessed tons of changes and developments over the years in the sport, but I've not seen these type of incredible results across the board from a new method. I've not. And it's been jaw-dropping. It's been beyond rewarding to see them. I'm very thankful to Jeff for all the years of study and being a student of swimming and really developing this method. And I mean, the athletes witnessed it. I was literally jumping for joy, jumping up and down on the deck when I would see them have those aha moments, when I would see it click for them and they would nail the body position, or, you know, they would nail the hand entry. It was just, it was amazing. And, you know, it's what Jeff said, their expression was priceless. Their expression was priceless. It was to have adults have those moments where they're like believing in themselves and knowing that they have the ability to do this, and that they just needed the right instruction, they needed the right program, and it was all going to come together for them, and that they were going to continue on this path to being better swimmers. You know, and this was the first time I really got to see that with adult athletes, and them having those moments, seeing the results, believing in themselves, and it was a beautiful thing.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
While I was at Tridot Pool School, I pulled a few athletes to the side to get their thoughts on the experience. A big thanks to Susan Euler, McKeely Jones, Chad Rolfs, Billy Turner, Troy Willis, Brady Hoover, and Laura Rakita for taking a few minutes out of the pool to be on camera. So for our cool down today, here is a mashup of sorts with some of the chlorine-inspired nuggets those athletes shared after attending TriDot Pool School.
I'm Susan Euler. I'm from Houston, Texas. I would say that I am still learning, but I'm competent. I can get through an Ironman swim, but would definitely like to improve.
My name's Chad Rolfs, and I'm a collegiate level swimmer.
I'm Brady Hoover. Came down here from Boston, Massachusetts. I would say, you know, I'm a fairly confident swimmer, usually pretty quick.
Billy Foster from Sedalia, Missouri, and I would say I'm an okay swimmer.
I am Troy Willis. I am from here in Fort Worth, Texas. My ability as a swimmer, I'm a very comfortable person in the water. Maybe not necessarily the fastest, though.
Hi, I'm Laura Rakita. I'm from Friendswood, Texas, and I would categorize myself as a upper beginner swimmer. I haven't had any formal training.
Hi, I am Bakili Jones, Olympic silver medalist, Ironman world champion, Xterra world champion. But I didn't come from a swim background. When I first started racing triathlon, I actually was dead last out of the water. And over the years, I've definitely improved.
I came to a pool school because I know I needed work in several areas and wanted to get some direct coaching on how to improve those things.
I know that even as a good swimmer, there's always something to learn. The past weekend has really been eye-opening.
You have those aha moments every time, like you do a drill, you do the dry land, you get in the water, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, now I get that feel.
I mean, it just sounded like a really great opportunity to continue learning about swimming and becoming better at it.
This has been an amazing weekend. The encouragement and the camaraderie with other athletes has been awesome. The coaches have definitely met us where we're at. I really like the step-by-step approach starting from square one.
I think it's a fantastic experience. It doesn't matter what level you are, the experience here at TriDot Pool School, you will walk away with a lot, I can assure you.
The teaching, the breakdown, the community, the times in the pool, laughing, and working on our technique has been a great experience.
The same way that you kind of trust TriDot and trust the process, it was the same thing with pool school, is just trusting that all these, you know, different puzzle pieces would come together.
So far, I've loved it. It's really breaking down the stroke to everything that's happening above the water, which I feel that's where my weakness is where my hand is entering, getting that full extension, which I wasn't doing before.
More of the stroke piece coming out, some of the rotation. I was over-rotating, so kind of fixed some of those things. So just getting everything working in the right way. A lot of things to go back and work on, but a lot of improvements over the last 2 days.
It's made me think about the stroke broken down into segments to where I can pause and analyze my form to improve the technique.
I feel more confident in the water. I feel like I'm improving, and I know that, you know, the more I continue practicing, doing the dry land stuff and then incorporating all the drills that we've done this weekend, I'll continue to get better.
Definitely, I've picked up some bad habits over the years, so it's nice to revisit and have, you know, eyes on, and then resetting it, doing the dry land stuff. So you're resetting it in a functional way, and then you sort of get in the pool and you get to practice that.
So honestly, I was very uncomfortable swimming on my side, on my left side. I would only breathe on my right forever. And so that is something I've noticed right away, is my balance is much, much better.
Actually feels like you should make a step back initially, because some of the things you're unlearning, and then it's kind of starts to click, and I can already feel more pull and speed in the water.
I would highly recommend coming to pool school, whether you're a beginner or you've been swimming for years.
I'd say if you want to improve your swim, definitely come to pool school, get the coaching you need, development, and it'll help you go further.
It's a must. Usually I'm in the top 3% coming out of the water, and I'm still learning stuff that is only going to improve my swim. Swimming is one of those things that, like, there's always work to be done.
Whether you're a new swimmer or even someone who feels very comfortable in the water, I do believe you'll see a benefit out of this. No doubt.
The first thing I would say to athletes who are considering pool school, don't think, just do. Sign up. It's so well worth it. You'll get so much out of it.
Do it. Just do it. Don't worry about where you are right now, but just that you will improve for sure. And it's really been exciting to see everybody's reaction after the first day. And then today, there's a whole bunch of new energy.
Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank Tridot CEO Jeff Buwer and Coach Joanna Namey for introducing us to Tridot Pool School. Thanks to Delta G and Precision Fuel and Hydration for partnering with us on the show today. Head to deltagketones.com and use the code TRIDOT20 to get 20% off your Super Fuel Ketone drinks. I'm telling you, try the coffee booster. It is legit amazing. Also legit amazing is the Fuel Planner tool at precisionfuelandhydration.com. Check it out. Find out how much fuel you should be taking in and use code TRY10 for a discount on your order with them. We'll do it all again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.